We've just read Esther chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, where we find that maidens had been brought to Shushan the palace because they are looking for someone to replace Vashti. And we talked about how that all of these maidens would have been considered the king's wives, or as some have called them, concubines. And those women who failed to be recalled by the king spent the rest of their lives as virtual widows, isolated from all men while they were in his harem. In verse 12, we find, now when every maid's turn was come to go into the king Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months preparing. She was receiving a course on court etiquette, and how to act as a queen, but they were being trained to do one thing, and that was to satisfy the desires of the king. Now, may I say this? This is one of the most difficult areas of scripture to talk about as to what was going to be expected of Esther. She was a virgin, and she was now going to be given to the king. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But verse 13 says, whatsoever she desired was given to her to go with her unto the king's house. Or literally, they are in a beauty contest. They were seeing which maiden made the king the happiest. Now, usually if there's a beauty contest, there are many judges. In this case, there was one judge, and that would have been the king. Now, we are not told how many maidens were brought to Shushan. I doubt it was 10. I doubt it was 30. I could say maybe 127, because that's how many different areas there were to draw people from. And Esther was one that was brought from Shushan, the area there. But literally, she had been prepared for a beauty contest. In verse 14, she came in unto the king no more, except the king delight in her, and that she were called by name. If the woman, young lady, maiden, whatever you want to call her, was brought in, and she would spend the night with the king, and if she was nothing more than just another woman, then most likely she would never be called again. And like we already mentioned, there was a good chance she would never see her family again. And how sad that would be. But let's begin reading now at verse 15. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what he gave the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto the king Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Now, what we see here, it's Esther's turn. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think there would have been some rivalry going on amongst these maidens? Do you think that there may have been tricks played on each other? Do you think there was probably even some name calling? And I'm sure that they were all wanting to be the next queen. Because they probably knew that if they had been rejected, they would just spend the rest of their life in a court with all the other women, and what fun would that have been? And number two, we find she required nothing. Haggai knew what the king liked, and being partial to Esther, he attired her accordingly. He knew what type of woman the king was looking for. Now, most likely, it was probably someone like Vashti. That was probably someone like her that the king would want. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her, from the keeper of the women and all those that were in the court. They all thought she was special. You know, it's kind of nice to be thought to be special, isn't it? You know, there are times in which we would think, well, I wish I was better liked or more people liked me. And of course, she is going to be nervous, I would presume, though a year has come and gone in which she has been given everything imaginable to look really good, right? To be a beautiful young woman. Notice verse 17, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. The king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the other virgins. May I say this? I believe the Lord had his hand upon her. I think that as she went into that room where he would see her, that the Lord immediately touched his heart. We find that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. How quickly do you think the news spread through the palace? How quickly do you think that other females that had tried for the position thought, oh no, I wasn't very nice to her, because now she's going to be queen, right? Yes. Some have asked, well, was she still a virgin? You know, we believe that a young woman should be a virgin until she is married. Was she still a virgin? Notice what it says in verse 19. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time. Now, does that mean this group of women? Probably not. It was probably a second group that had been brought in for the very same thing, to see which one would be the new queen. And so she probably had spent the night with the king and probably struggled being a proper girl. I'd like to read to you from Warren Wiersbe's thoughts on this. He has this entitled, "The Approval of the King." Each night a new maiden was brought to the king, and in the morning she was sent to the house of the concubines, never again to be with the king unless he remembered her and called her. Such unbridled sensuality eventually would have so bored Ahasuerus that he was probably unable to distinguish one maiden from another. This was not love. It was faceless, anonymous lust that craved more and more. And the more the king indulged, the less he was satisfied. Esther had won the favor of everybody who had saw her. And when the king saw her, he responded to her with greater enthusiasm than he had to any of the other women. At last, he had found someone to replace Vashti. The phrase, "the king loved Esther," must not be interpreted to mean that Ahasuerus had suddenly fallen in love with Esther with pure and devoted affection, but that the king was attracted to Esther more than to any other of the women. This response was from the Lord, who wanted Esther to be in the royal palace where she could intercede for her people. Unquote. So the question is, would you have wanted to have been Esther? That would have been hard, ladies. If you had been taken to the palace and the idea was that you could, by chance, be the next queen. And so you would have to somehow go in and act in such a way that he would want you. And yet she asked for nothing but what the Haggai, the keeper of the women, suggested. And can I ask you a question? Do you think they were betting on it? People bet on everything, don't they? I would say that there were probably those that were betting. And outside the gate is Mordecai. And he's probably having struggling that night when Esther was taken. Verse 18. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. There was no reason stated for concealing Esther's race. No one knows why. This method of selecting a new queen is typical of the time. They would bring in certain ones and they would see which one the king felt best with. And as we mentioned before, the women who failed to be recalled, unfortunately, spent the rest of their lives as widows, isolated from all men in his harem. The only men they would come in contact with would be eunuchs. And of course, they were eunuchs because of surgery that had been placed upon them so that they were virtually unable to do things that men do. But then we come to a side note. It's interesting. Mordecai is going to do something that's going to be recorded that later is going to be very important in the story of Esther. Notice verse 21. In those days, I can presume that means after Esther has become queen. In those days, following the king's return from the battle where the Greeks have fended him off and he's come back and he has been with these females, after these or those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains. Now, a chamberlain was considered like a butler or a steward or a valet. They watched the door. They protected the king. And it says here, Bithan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. In other words, they were wanting to assassinate him. That would be pretty brave, wouldn't it? To assassinate the king who is the most powerful man in their world, and yet they were upset with him. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been so upset with your boss that you wanted to kill him or her, but apparently these two wanted to. Now, Jerry, you were the boss of a lot of people when you had a business out here. 50 people, 60, what's that? 100 people. Do you think they all loved you?
They ignored me.
They ignored you. Yes. Now, you know, the thing is, sometimes a boss can just by being a boss can irritate the workers, right? Just because. Now, I've been fortunate. I had two men under me, Pastor Mel, and now Pastor Stephen, both were good workers, and I've had no problem with them. I'm not going to ask them if they've had problems with me. But the fact is, these two men, for whatever the reason, had gotten upset with the king. Not just a little bit, but a lot. Notice verse 22. And the thing was known to Mordecai. Now, how do you think he knew about it? Well, I would imagine the two of them were conspiring on how they were going to kill the king, and they didn't realize that Mordecai was on the other side of the wall. And they heard, or he heard them talking. Notice, who told it unto Esther, the queen. Now, ponder this. The Lord has maneuvered Esther into a position to be the queen. He now has made it so that Mordecai is going to hear something that will be very important to the Jewish salvation soon. You think it was by chance? It wasn't by chance. Notice, and the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther, the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. She's going to make sure that he gets the credit for this information. He is going to be given the credit so that later on, something very amazing is going to happen. Now, we don't want to get too far ahead of us. Though probably all of us know what happens. But we're going to find that this story, this little side note, is brought into our attention for a very distinct purpose. Verse 23, and when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Now stop reading. Mordecai was at the right place at the right time to hear two men conspiring to assassinate King Ahasuerus. He's at the right place at the right time. Have you ever been at the right place at the right time and you were able to buy something on a good sale? That maybe you were at the right place at the right time and you're at a buffet and they've run out of the roast beef and they bring out the prime rib. Now, I remember when that happened out in Utah, and I've never forgotten it. I was not sorry that I didn't get the roast beef because the prime rib was brought out. You know, the fact of the matter is sometimes we're going to be in the right place. And can I tell you this, that any time you're in the house of God, it's the right place. And when the Holy Spirit can talk upon or lead your heart, that's a good thing. Can I say this, that any time you're in the Word of God, and you're doing your Bible reading, or you're just simply reading for the pleasure of reading from the Bible, it's the right place. Because the Holy Spirit can deal with you. You know, any time that you're in prayer, it's the right place at the right time. And we need to be in the right place at the right time. You know, I sometimes ponder the thought that some people, it's no big deal if they don't hear a sermon, or if they don't take time to read. But I do believe it's important. Mordecai told Esther, who let the right authorities know about it. Inquiries were made. Now, I don't know if they had men like Monk who were able to figure it out. I don't know if they had someone like Hercule Poirot or Miss Marple or another detective who said, okay, we got to figure out if these things are true. But inquiries are made. Inquisition. Now, when you think of the word inquisition, you don't think of something that's being done just verbally. Usually there is some torture involved, okay? Now, I'm not saying there was, but inquisition was made of the matter, and it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree. You know, someone has well said, your sins will find you out. In this case, they did. Inquiries were made, and the two men were found guilty and then were hanged on a tree. As we continue, we're going to find here a simple sentence. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. It's a simple sentence, isn't it? But it's a very important sentence. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. It reminds me when we've talked about Ruth. There is a simple sentence. You may remember it. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. You remember reading that sentence in Ruth? And they came to Bethlehem when? In the beginning of the barley harvest. What's going to happen because it's at the barley harvest? She's going to go out into a field, the field of Boaz, and she's going to end up marrying Boaz. And lo and behold, Ruth is part of the line and lineage of Jesus Christ. All because she and Naomi came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. You know, sometimes the Lord is going to do something that's just a simple little thing, and it's going to add up to something very great. Like Cindy coming to the Covenant Baptist Church 13 years ago, something like that. And so she has been here since then because she came. Some of you came to the Covenant Baptist Church, and it's changed the direction of your life. So the fact is, God is in control. Even though God is never mentioned in the book of Esther, the Lord is never mentioned in the book of Esther, His hand is behind everything that was happening. See, God knew what Satan was trying to do. He was going to use Haman to destroy the Jews so that Jesus could not be born. Do you realize how much Satan hates you? He didn't want Jesus born. He wanted all of us to die and go to hell. But God had His hand in what was going on there in Shushan, the palace. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love, for Your grace, for Your directions. Lord, we thank You that You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank You, Lord, again for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.